I want to close that out somewhat today. But I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, and then Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. So if you got your Bibles, your iPads, bring those scriptures up. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion, talking about Jesus, on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, look at somebody and say, the workers, a few. In the text says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want to talk to you in my conclusion on the whole kingdom shift theme is working for the kingdom. Working for the kingdom. Now, we have shifted for the kingdom. We have now, most of us have now adopted a kingdom mindset. We have even faith for the kingdom. But somebody say now. But now it's time to work for the kingdom. Somebody say, I know that's right. In other words, it's time to take some action. Okay, we've shifted. We've got the right mindset. We've got faith for the kingdom. Now it's time to work for the kingdom. Because understand this, nobody is coming into the kingdom of God just because you have adopted a kingdom mindset and have faith for the kingdom. The Bible says this very clear in James chapter 2, verse 17. Faith without works is what? It's dead, being alone. So if we don't put any works to what we say God has done, nothing is going to happen. We are not going to see the results that God wants us to see until we rise up and say, we got it, God. We've got the mindset. We've got the shift. We've got faith for the kingdom. Now we're ready to work. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to work. And so in the first text, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it is the mission, or I call it the work assignment for the church. Jesus makes it very clear, and he says in Matthew 24 and 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. He says to us, that is the mission of the church. And as believers, we must be willing to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom so that nations, somebody say nations, so that nations are transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say it again, it's time to work. Yeah, tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, it's time to work. Yeah, you cannot sit down idly any longer. God has given us a mandate. He has prophetically spoken in this house. Now it's time to work. Forget about you being fearful. Forget about your feelings. Forget about you where I don't know what people are going to think. Forget that, bump that. Let's get busy working. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Where is our world? Our world is not overseas right now. We're going to start in our own little Judea and Jerusalem, which is right here. Somebody say, Laurel, Maryland. Come on, it's time for the radical ones to stand up and get radical and take our city. We would do God an injustice if we just continue to sit down, receive all of that prophetic word, and do nothing with it. It would be sinful to do that. But somebody say the devil is a liar. We're going to rise up like Nehemiah, and we are going to work. Because our mission is to impose the kingdom on this culture. And the only way that can happen is for believers to share their faith in every place. Did you get me? I said in every place. That means you share it in your workplace. That means you share it in your community. That means you share it when you're in Harris Teeter. That means you share it when you're in Giant. Come on. That means you share it when you go to Food Line. That means you share it when you're on the metro. That means you share it when you're in the car. That means you share it when you're in the house. That means you share it with mom and them. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached everywhere. God, I feel that in the Holy Ghost. Pastor, I'm scared. What you scared of? I don't know what they might think. So what? This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in every place. Because Jesus gives the mandate to the church and he says, go everywhere. Because the gospel of the kingdom has to be preached to all the world. And we have our assignment, New Life Christian Center, to go and preach the gospel to those that we come in contact with right here in Laurel, Maryland. And when you go into the District of Columbia in Washington, D.C., you've got a mandate to preach it there. And if you work in Northern Virginia, you got a mandate to preach it there. And if you work down in Baltimore and the county or the city, you got another mandate to preach it there. And if you work down in Howard County, you got another mandate to preach it there. And if you work in Anne Arundel County, you got another mandate to preach it there. And if you live in Pre-D County, you got another mandate to preach it there. But wherever you are, you got to preach. Tell somebody it's time to preach. And unfortunately now, here's a problem here. Because Jesus gives us the mission, but then he points out the problem. Because he says here, the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest, figuratively speaking, that means mankind. Or men coming into the kingdom of God. He said, there's a harvest of humanity that I want to bring in. He says, it's plenteous. Plenteous just means it's large. He said, there's a large population of people that I want to bring into the kingdom. But the laborers, a few. He points out a problem. He says, we've got a harvest out there waiting to come in, but I don't have enough workers. The laborers are few. The workers are few. And then he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I believe the Lord has spoken clearly, particularly to our church, that it is time for every one of us that have been coming here, whether you're a member or not, but you're in the body of Christ, to get up and work. That we will no longer be guilty of the Lord looking down at us and saying, the harvest is yet plenteous, but where are my workers? I see they come to church and they praise me on Sunday. I see they read their word, but why aren't they working? I see they do pray, but why aren't they working? See, if all we do is come in here on Sundays or Wednesdays and we don't take what we learned and what we've experienced in here out there, we are not working. Because this is not the harvest. We are already in the kingdom of God. We've got to get out there. So what we have in here, we have to impose it out there. And I want to tell you something. There are an abundance of people waiting to come into the kingdom once they hear the word of God. Somebody say the gospel. They may be from every walk of life, from a poor, downtrodden man to a wealthy, depressed, suicidal man. Whoever they are, we are called to gather them into the kingdom. He says, but the laborers are few. God needs some workers for his kingdom. He's looking for some workers that have the mindset that whatever their hands find to do, they're going to do it with all of their might. No more laziness, no more complacency, no more procrastination. I'll get it done tomorrow. Oh, I'll show up next week. Oh, when I get some time, I'll minister to somebody. No, 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 no. You are called to do your work now. The Bible said work wise day, because when nighttime comes, there's a whole lot of nighttime out there right now. There's a whole lot of dark and gloominess out there right now. But somebody told me we are the light of the world, a city that sits on a hill which cannot be hid. And the Bible said, let your light so what? So shine that men will see your good works. New Life, can I say this to you? It's time to shine now. It's time to shine. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Come on, I can't hear nobody. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Which means that it is so. Time to mount up now. And so God is looking for some workers. In other words, God doesn't just want any worker. He wants those that want to work. Here's what I'm trying to say. God is looking for faithful and effective workers for his kingdom. He's looking for people that will be faithful and effective at what he has called us to do. Because I don't know about you, I feel so pregnant with increase and expectation of what God is about to do until I can't sit down any longer. If you don't come with me, guess what? I'm just going to go anyway. But I'm praying that you're going to follow your leader so that we can bring in this harvest. Because you know there's somebody waiting to hear word. So here's what I want to leave with you. There are three things that I want to pull out. And normally when we deal with this text, you know, we're talking about the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And many times our focus is more in the house of God than it is out there. But I want to bring your attention to something. I believe that we are called, even as Pastor Sunday says in his book, Church Shift, we are called to impose the kingdom on the culture. Our culture is okay in the kingdom of God. What we're trying to do is get the kingdom of God's culture into the world's culture. We've got to impose that, which means now it can't be here that we need to impose that because we're already kingdom citizens. We've got to impose it out there, which means every place that we go, we want to impose the kingdom on the culture. Now, most of us, if we work, we work 8 hours or more during the course of every day. Most of us 5 days a week. Sometimes some of us 6 or 7 days a week. So can I tell you, when he talks about the harvest is plenteous, that's your field. Right there on your job with all them crazy people many times that you want to get away from, that happens to be your field. Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. That's your field in your community. You know, when y'all take the kids to the bus stop and all those moms are out there and sometimes fathers, that's your field. Come on, somebody. You know, when you go to the marketplace and you see that cashier and they know you by name now and you know him or her by name, that's your field. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we have the right work ethic and habits so that we can be faithful and effective at what God has called us to do. Somebody say work. So here are three major work habits You need to create to be a faithful and effective worker for the kingdom. Somebody say three. Three. Because we've got to be faithful and effective. Many times the reason why we can't bring anybody in is because we are not effective and faithful in the workplace. So I want to deal with that a little bit. Because when we leave here, we got everything we need. Now let's go out and win our field so that we can bring in the harvest. My field is not your field, and your field is not my field. But if we get busy in our field, somebody's going to come in. But I will tell you this, if you do nothing, you ain't going to get nothing. When it's time to harvest, somebody's got to go out in the field and pluck up and bring in the harvest. But if you don't do anything, nothing's going to happen. So let's look at this thing. Major work habits. And this begs the thought of, what kind of work habits do you have right now? Are they the kind that draw people to you that they might see Christ? Or do they deflect people away? Because I want to deal with the work habits that you need to create to be faithful and effective as a kingdom worker. God doesn't just want anything. He don't want junk. He wants us to be faithful and effective. So here's number one. Here's number one. And for some of you, you might have to make some adjustments. If it hits you, just receive it and make the proper adjustments. Because you know how you are on your job. You know, some of you, if I showed up on your job and say, oh, you know, what do you think about Sister So-and-so? Sister So-and-so? She a sister? Oh, she go to church? Oh, some of you, it probably may not be the best testimony. So let's get this together now. Number one, make being your best a priority in the secular and the sacred. So if you're jotting anything down, make being your best. Somebody say your best. Now, let me get this straight now. I didn't say you have to be the best on the job, because somebody may be better than you, but you're going to be the best that you can be. Come on, somebody. I'm not in competition with anybody, but I know if I'm working at my full maximum potential. And that's all I'm trying to say. Make being your best a priority in the secular, you hear me, and the sacred. God doesn't want us to sacrifice one for the other. I'm good in the sacred. I do everything I need to do. I show up on time at church, and I'm always in place. And then you go on your job and you do nothing. That's not good. So you should be known for being a great worker on your secular job and a great worker in your ministry department. In fact, when you are a great worker on your secular job, it actually can open doors for you to bring the kingdom's influence into the workplace. Now, the Bible says, and you don't have to go there, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, it says this, that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you know them by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but these are their Hebrew names. They stood before the king, the Bible says, in all manner of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them. In other words, he brought a lot of the people of his country so that he could inquire of them and find out what kind of knowledge base they possess. And so when he brought in the Hebrew boys, the Bible say he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. He didn't just say 2 times better. He said they were 10 times better. And I got some revelation to say, that means we should be 10 times better at what we do than the... And I can't get no help in this sanctified church. So that's gonna stifle you now from you just dragging your feet. You know, I'm just going to get to work and give them what I can, you know, and get up on out of here. I'm going to go to this grind and do what I can, and then I'm going to get on home. As soon as you get into work, you look at the clock. What time? I got 7.5 more hours. Lord, I'd be glad when it's over. Wrong attitude. So let's determine to be the best employee or employer you can be in the secular and the best volunteer worker you can be in the sacred. So whatever you do, do your best and give it your all. When you come to church, keep that excellent hat on. When you leave church, keep that excellent hat on. When you go to the secular, the sacred, and the secular. So here's some things that I want you to pull out from there. Because if you're going to be your best, some of you may have to get some adjustments going on. Here's something. Positive attitude in your workplace. Worst thing you can do is come to work with a frown. Negative attitude. Ain't nothing right. Ain't nothing going to happen. That's the company you work for. And let it not be said that's the company that you own and you talking like that. Because remember now, we are there to impose the kingdom on the culture. Nobody wants to be around negativity. Saved or unsaved, nobody wants that. Have a positive attitude in your workplace. Because when you're positive, let me tell you something. Positive will cancel out the negative. Have you ever been around people and you say, you know, well, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen and I don't know if we're ever going to get a raise. No, I think it's going to work out. I think we got a solution for that. I think we're going to. And then all of a sudden, negative becomes positive. So, number one, have a positive attitude. Pastor, you don't understand, I don't like this job. Okay, but just thank God that you got a job. And if you do your best on something that you don't like, God will honor that and give you something that you do like. But as long as you murmur and complain, God can't operate in that. He operates in faith. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. All things work together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. So even though I may not like it, I'm thanking you, God, because it could have been another way. Somebody say, be positive. The other one, establish a reputation for excellence in your workplace. Because if you're going to be your best, one of the things is you want to establish a reputation of excellence in your workplace. Don't just give your employer anything. You just be satisfied with this. I'm tired. My feet hurt. And then they asked me to do all this paperwork. I'm going to give them that. You better take that. You better not shoot it back in my box, because I'm going to shoot it back to you. Have a reputation of excellence. Be excellent in your ministry department and be excellent on your job. God wants you to be excellent in the secular, and he wants you to be excellent in the sacred. Everything you do, be excellent about it. Challenge yourself and say, if I was on the other side, would I accept this? And that's why some of you got to change your mindset, because some of you would. So you need to say, would God accept this? And be honest with yourself, is this really my best? Because let's be honest, all of us have given like 50% on your job and you still showed up and got your paycheck on Friday. Let's be honest, if God would gauge us and judge us sometime, or your employer, based on the effort and the level of excellence that you gave, sometimes we might get 50% of our paycheck on Friday. Now, I wonder now if it was based on how we perform throughout the week that our paycheck would be a reflection of that. I wonder what we really give excellence then. Something to think about. And then let's go deeper. Is this what God wants you to give? So establish a reputation for excellence in your workplace. The other one, a willingness to work until the assignment is complete. Amen. Amen. Nothing worse than leaving a lot of undone things. Assignments and deadlines. And I understand sometimes we might miss a deadline, but you miss deadlines all the time for no apparent reason. And then you're fussing and you're complaining about why you are not getting an increase. Well, you never complete anything. See, if we're talking about imposing the kingdom on the culture, it starts with our work habits. And I'm going somewhere with this. So a willingness to work until the assignment is complete. Here's another one now. I know this might not be a pet peeve to you, but I think it's to God. Be on time every day. You're getting paid. Be on time. God saved you, sanctified you, filled you with the Holy Ghost. Redeemed your life from destruction. Be on time to church. I know service started at 10:30, but there, you know, I'll get there. I'm tired. I'll get there. You got that same attitude in the secular and the sacred.
The boss in there. Let me sneak on in here.
Oh, how you doing this morning? I'm doing well. Oh, you been here all day? Yeah, I've been here all day. I've been here ever since. You're lying, lying, pants on fire. You just got there. Now, I understand sometimes we are late sometimes. You know, some things we can't prevent. But when you are an habitually late. Elders say change your hours. I don't think it's the hours, because some of you would be late if you had to come in at 11 a.m. You got to change your habits and discipline yourself and understand that it's about the kingdom. You are trying to impose the kingdom on the culture. Folk ain't going to listen to you and you're always late. And then the joke going around the office, you know Martha, she ain't, you can hold your breath if you want to, you're going to die, because you know she ain't showing up on time. Every meeting you show up late. Come on, this is 2017, we have shifted, so it's time for you to shift. Here's something else, and I'm just talking about being your best. Take no unauthorized extended lunch breaks. Oh, I just hit somebody, didn't I? Some of y'all did it last week, didn't you? Uh-huh. Tell your neighbor, stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it. But you don't know the boss ain't around. God's around. I think Proverbs 15:2, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God's holding us to a higher standard. That even if everybody else is doing it, your standard is, I don't do that. I said all this to say this. Everything, if you start changing like that and putting those habits in place, it will attract positive attention to yourself, and it will lay the groundwork to share the gospel of the kingdom in the future. Because what I'm giving you, I'm laying groundwork, setting people up that you're going to start attracting people to you. Because why are you like that? And why don't you hang out with us like that? And why don't you take unauthorized extended lunch breaks? Somebody's going to ask you one day. And you're going to say, I used to do it, but after I got saved. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. When God changes things, he changes everything. And let me hit this right quick. This also applies to your community where you live. What am I trying to say? Be your best. Be a good neighbor with a positive attitude. If that is your field, you got to be positive. I'm trying to get up out of this hood, and I tell you, I don't like this mess, and you know. Ain't nothing wrong with aspiring to something better, but while you are there, look at the purpose for why God has you there, and be positive. Because God might want you to pull some other people out when you come out. So be a good neighbor with a positive attitude. Be helpful, kind, and courteous. You know, when it snows and it snows a lot around here, you know, and you're in your house looking through the window and everybody's outside, all your neighbors outside, shoveling and shoveling and shoveling and shoveling. And then you wait till the road is clear and then you get in your hind in your car and drive on and you ain't help nobody. You think neighbors ain't looking at that? But Pastor, you don't know I got some physical challenges. Then go out there and give somebody some hot chocolate.
Tell somebody some joke. I would help you, but my back, I got some back issues. But you want some hot chocolate? You want me to stay out here and give some jokes with you or something? I'm just saying, you're trying to lay groundwork so that you can impose the kingdom on the culture. Nobody going to listen to you as a neighbor and you don't come out and involve yourself in anything. You're the worst neighbor. And your trash all hanging all over the place and they got to come and pick your stuff up. And then here's the problem. They see you every Sunday driving to church. And whether they come or not, they got an expectation of what they think you should be. Right or wrong. So if you have a bad attitude, chances are nobody's going to take time to listen to you. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You know the young folks say, see what I'm saying? Let me hurry on. Let me hurry on. I can stay there a while. Is that helping anybody? Okay, number two, because we're talking about changing our habits. Number two, make integrity a core value in your workplace. Somebody say integrity. In other words, what I'm saying is always do what's right in the presence of your colleagues and in the absence of your colleagues. Because when your colleagues or coworkers consistently see you doing what is right, you will establish a reputation of integrity. Trustworthy people are valuable to a company or an organization. And this will allow your light, the light of Christ, to shine in darkness because of your character. And here's just another way to lay the groundwork for future evangelism in the workplace. You see where I'm going? We're laying groundwork. You're laying groundwork because nobody wants to hear you if you ain't good at what you do. People pay you for solving problems. And when you're good at solving problems, you can get the attention of anybody. Oh, you right? But don't leave my message alone now, because I'm going there. You see where he's at now, you know. if you can solve problems. And then you walk in integrity, now people like people with character. I found this out. Even if they don't have character, they want you to have character. Your employer might not have character, but they want you to have character because they don't want you to steal from them. They're stealing from everybody else, but they don't want you to steal from them. Because here's another thing, and then I'm going to go to the next one. Because when God can trust you, he can use you. But if he can't trust you, he can't use you. And so integrity becomes a deal breaker, or the lack of integrity becomes a deal breaker with God. And you can't lay the proper foundation to be able to minister to people because they steal stuff from on the job, you steal stuff on the job. Come on. Let me not use the word steal. Allocate. See, oh, you know about that. Reallocate without authorization. You know, like when we take the tools home and, you know, or we take the tiles, you know, and all, you know. When we were growing up, boy, used to go over people's house and you got all these different tiles, Holiday Inn and, you know, people just take the tiles and you go in the bathroom and they got Holiday Inn tiles and you know that ain't, you know where it came from. You know what I mean? We just taking stuff. And some of you like that on your job. You know, they ain't going to miss it. They should have gave me a raise. I'm going to take that too. And you just take it home like it's nothing. But that's a lack of integrity because it does not belong to you. Whether the company can afford it or not, you don't do things like that. Because remember now, God's got to be able to trust you to use you. And why is God going to send some people in your path when you just like them? And one thing I found out, God ain't going to be embarrassed. He'll set you on the sideline before he gets embarrassed.
He said, no, I can't. You, but God, why you can't? Because you ain't trustworthy. You steal everything you get your hands on. And we don't call it stealing, but you know. You know, when rich folk do stuff, they don't call it stealing, they call it embezzling. That's just a fancy word for you a thief too. You steal $10, you know, you take $10, you're a thief. $1 million, you're embezzling. What's the difference? So we want to walk with integrity. Okay? And let me give you the final one now. It's the final one. You getting anything out of this? Yeah. Here's number three. Because we are imposing the kingdom on the culture. And this is why I had to give you the first two. Somebody give me, let's do a quick review. What's the first one? No. Make being your. Okay. And number two. Make integrity a core value in your workplace. Okay. So you get it now. You've got to make being your best a priority in your workplace. And then you've got to make integrity a core value in your workplace. You see how we got to build on that? Because I got to be my best. And then I've got to walk in integrity. Now, number three is make influencing your workplace with the gospel of the kingdom a priority. So you can't put this first until you do your best and you walk in integrity. Because if you put that first, you're not going to be effective. You've got to get your habits together. Walk in integrity. Now you can start influencing your workplace with the gospel of the kingdom. Because now you got the attention of people. Because you got a good reputation and you're good at what you do. So people are listening to you now. So here's what you're going to do in there. Bullet points. Ask the Holy Spirit to create opportunities for you to share the gospel in your workplace. This may come as a one-on-one with your colleagues or coworkers, or don't be surprised, God may create an opportunity for you to share in a group setting. Look at your neighbor and say, just be ready. Yeah, because when you pray, I'm telling you, Jesus already told us, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. So the harvest is there. You say, I got no problem. I can tell you right now, I got about 10 that I want you to minister to that you know nothing about. People are going through stuff on your job, in your field that you have not a clue about. But when you get focused and you start praying and saying, God, give me to influence my workplace with the gospel of the kingdom, watch out. God's going to start revealing and sending people your way. When I was working on my secular job, the greater part of my ministry was on the job. I can't tell you how many people I got an opportunity to minister to on my job. It didn't happen immediately. It didn't happen, I don't even think, in the first or the second year. But once I established a reputation of integrity and a good worker, that I could be right in the trenches with you, solving problems, willing to stay late if I needed to. Guess what? People started asking me questions. What you do on the weekends? You really want to know? I work hard, but when I on the weekend, I worship hard too. I even had coworkers, unsaved coworkers. When we first started our ministry and then had an anniversary service, our first year anniversary, I had coworkers come that was not saved because they wanted to see, what is Art doing? Sold into the ministry. Never would have happened if I wasn't good at what I was doing and I didn't walk in integrity. They used to call me, why are you always positive? And I used to say, is there any other way to be? I'm just telling you, see what I mean? Oh, don't ask Art. You know he's gonna see the glass half full. Yep, that's me. Because I'm trying to impose the culture, the kingdom culture, on the world. So there should be a difference. Did I have to eat lunch by myself sometimes? Yep. Because here's the respect. When they was going out to do dirty, they didn't want to bring clean with them. Watch out if dirty don't have a problem with you coming. Because when you clean, dirty don't want you there. When they know they're going to do dirty. They used to tell me, you don't want to. We had cubicles. And I hate to say. And sometime on the job, some of the guys would look at us and stuff they shouldn't be looking at. And I'd be walking down the hall. Hey man, you know, we got to go to the lab. Stay right there. Don't come in here. They used to warn me, Elder. Don't come in here. I already knew. Like, what y'all doing? You know you're wrong. You're gonna get caught, man. They're gonna terminate you. You know what I mean? That's the respect that you walk in. Not that I tried to carry myself as I was better than anybody, because I never did that. But when people see, they automatically shield you. It's a weird thing. The ungodly will shield you and give you that respect and honor and say, hey, man, you know. I had coworkers that say, oh, man, I'm sorry. I ain't mean to cuss, man. Hey, Doc, I mean, I can't control you, what you say, but I appreciate you doing that. And the reason why they did that, because they don't hear you cuss. Now, if you cuss along with them, oh, they ain't got no problem. And let the church say amen. Here's another bullet point here. And this is critical. Realize your workplace is your ministry and not your paycheck. Let me say that again. Realize your workplace is your ministry and not just a paycheck. So many times we fail to see our ministry in our workplace because we are too focused on the paycheck. If you want to tweet something, tweet that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're too focused, and we're believers. Now let me qualify that now, because you're like, what do you mean? I can't make no money. I ain't say that. I'm not opposed to money. Don't get it twisted now. You are not just there for the paycheck. You are there to bring the kingdom to the workplace. If God gave you the job, He knows you need money to live. Somebody say, God knows. But He puts you there first and foremost to bring the kingdom to your workplace. We'll so focus on the paycheck until we put the paycheck before the kingdom. And I'll tell you, be very careful not to allow your priorities to get twisted. Meaning the paycheck is first and the kingdom influence is second. When your focus is just on going after the money, here's what happens. You constantly miss the opportunities that God is sending your way to minister to somebody. Because you have become just like the world. And not understanding, if you do what He tells you to do, and I think Brother Eric said, if you're good at what you do, can I give you this insight? The salary increase and the promotion will always come. Because God will give you favor if you're good at what you do. And guess what? While that's coming, He then gives you opportunities to impose the kingdom on the culture. And I'm going to stop right there. Come on, let's stand right there.